I'm that person who I wait till it's like almost on fumes, and I'm pulling through the car line at school, and I'm realizing that I'm on empty and remembering that the light came on when I left home, and I'm like, please don't run out of gas in the car line, you know. But realizing that in life, you know, I probably tend to be the same, like kind of just keep going, going, going. I think we probably both, that's our natural tendency, is to go and then take time to refill later. But just realizing like, okay, no, we need an ongoing refueling, you know, and that's what Jesus offers us.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com.
This is Family Life Today.
All right, so it's always an exciting day when we have the Robinson Studio.
Yay, I love having Meg and David with us.
You
Welcome
guys,
to Family
it's good
Life
to be here.
Today.
We always love being here.
We love
here
time
with you
around
all.
The table with you.
I mean, honestly, though, I mean, is it a good day for you guys to be here? You just got the kids off to school. I mean, seriously, you're in a whirlwind of activity with your family.
You know,
so when you walk in here, are you refreshed or are you like, ah? Oh.
You know, we are having to be really intentional because we are in a crazy full season.
Yeah.
We got a senior all the way down to a second grader, and six out of the last 7 nights, they all get to play one sport. But 6 out of the last 7 nights, they had one of them or a banquet for one of them. And so we are actually celebrating right now the closing of 4 seasons.
Really?
New ones are opening.
That's
but
true,
the closing of 4 seasons of sports, which is great.
I mean, yeah. Seriously, what are we talking about? I know football.
Yeah. Football for one.
And that's all that matters. Anything else?
Cross country.
Oh.
Volleyball
and baseball.
And baseball for the little man.
Well, and flag football.
Yeah. We slipped
just
in a
throw
few
in
extras.
Another one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we let our senior. He did too. This.
How long is the break before they start another?
It's already going.
Well, then I'm glad we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about today.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking there's a lot of listeners going, you're living their life.
Yeah.
You know, we're on a different stage now. We live that life and we know it. It's crazy. But there are a lot of listeners going, I can relate to these guys because they are living our life.
And a lot of people will ask, like, how do you keep your marriage vibrant and your walk with God really vibrant as well when you're so busy and your life is just running out of control, it feels like sometimes. And so we're going to answer that question because you guys know the answer.
Well, we're going to respond and dig in and talk about how current we are in the process and how much God is faithful to keep showing up and teaching us and guiding us. So we
if
are
only
in
we
it.
Had it all figured out, right? Yeah.
If but, only.
Well. But recently it took a little bit of time to say we're going to slow down a bit, intentionally focus on our marriage and family and your walk with God.
Yeah.
And so we thought, okay, let's learn from what you experienced.
Guys,
some
we're
lessons
ready for you
from
you
the
teach
Robins.
Us.
I mean, there was several months where we were like, this can't continue. Mm-hmm. We have to take some serious time and shut down all social media accounts, do extra to pour into our time together that we would have, and just going, we're going to do some pretty crazy radical things to clear out space so that we have time together, because there's a trajectory happening and it may feel like we're, you know, bumping up against the curb, but we're keeping it on the road. But there's a time where you get off the road, you know, then you're like, how did we end up here? And we did not want that to be the case. And it was amazing how in this intentional time, it took a while for that just adrenaline propelling you to the next thing to sit in it. And, you know, I did silly things like, well, it wasn't a silly thing, but it was an intentional thing of being at my kids' games and putting my phone on focus, where literally no text or email would come in.
I don't even know what focus is.
Well, it's a new tool, tool on
really?
Your phone where
kinda
you
like
can
do not disturb. There's that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so for a period of time, and the list could go on and on, but it felt for the first 2 or 3 weeks like I kind of feel like I'm cutting fingers off and now my arm's getting cut off. Like, can I? But I was actually just feeling how my adrenaline was propelling me to the next thing so often. And as that settled in, I just came to realize I can mitigate and manage overwhelm really well. And as a result, I can push Meg and our relationship, our marriage gets pushed further than it's intended to go. And I can end up imposing that onto my family. But then the worst case is my soul, I don't take diligent care of my soul. I end up, you know, getting depleted and then just carrying on, because I can for a little while. It always catches up with us.
Yeah.
But I end up imposing that onto Meg and our family. And the worst case is I end up not knowing how to bring myself to Meg and to share conversation and emotional intimacy because I'm not in tune with myself. Mm. I'm not paying attention to the own pain that I'm just blowing past in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I think we long to be known, you know, and we need that. We need deep, intimate connection emotionally in our marriages. But I think we both realized just how quickly the busyness and the full schedule and, you know, all the things, and even just loving our kids well, you know, just those things take up a lot of time and space. And if I don't know what's going on inside of me, it's really hard to let David into that space too, you know, and the Lord. It's hard for me to really connect with the Lord if I'm not carving out time to, you know, go there with him and really see what is the Lord trying to do in my heart and in my life, and what are the places that we need to connect horizontally and vertically, as you all would say.
I would just say this. As you guys started that process, David, you already said it was like it was hard to click into. Well, it's almost like putting your life on the Focus, whatever that thing is, app. You know, on your phone.
Yeah, the whole life on the Focus button.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Meg, did you find the same thing? Because, I mean, you got a lot of the kids stuff going on. Not that David doesn't, but was it?
You're working. Doubly as hard? Speaking. Mm. You guys have a lot on your plate.
Yeah, it's definitely busy. I mean, life.
I think that describes most families today, too.
I don't think we're alone in that.
Me neither.
We look around at our friends, and we're all texting each other and talking about, oh, I missed this. Thanks for reminding me about that. And does anybody know what the homework is for this kid, you know, because we're all frazzled. And I think it's something that we realized we need a season of fighting and saying some no's, cutting out some things.
Fighting for your marriage, fighting for your family.
Yeah, and for our walk with the Lord and each other and just being able to be more present, you know. And some of those rhythms we've been able to keep in place, you know. But we did need like a concentrated season of, okay, what are the things we can dial back and say no to and just for our own health, you know.
So. Yeah. And Jesus didn't buck against the constraints of normal everyday life. Mm. He was fully God while fully human. And, you know, he did miracles. But when it comes to the pace he lived and the amount he withdrew, you're just reading the Gospels and I'm going, I'm not withdrawing with the Lord. I'm not withdrawing with friends and getting life there like Jesus did. I'm letting some other things control the pace. And so, yeah, that's kind of the spirit and heart of
what I mean, as you look back to when you started that, like if you were looking at your soul, your marriage, personal life on like a dashboard of your car with a full and empty gauge, where were you? Because I want to know where you were and then the journey and if that gauge has gone more toward full.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about looking back at the gauges, in the moment, I would have said, oh, yeah, we press down to empty, but then we take time to refuel, which is true. It's like we weren't off the road. This was really about, are we living the John 10:10, you know, the fullness that Jesus really does offer, or are we allowing things to crowd it? And so how often do we get above half full would have been a fair question. I would have said, not much at all.
Really?
But yeah, we'll come down. And spiritually, maybe there'd be seasons where we'd be at full. Physically, I feel like I'm always tired, you know, like,
Since you had children.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Emotionally would be the thing, though, that was kind of that tank and that gauge. For us personally, it's like we're going to prioritize spiritual. We're staying active because we got young kids. But it's that emotional gauge that I was like, do we even know what's going on inside of ourselves? Mm. Are we willing to allow ourselves to go by the still waters to pay attention to what's inside in that tank in order to be able to let each other into that space? Yeah. And I would say the tanks got really full through this season. Mm. And now there's rhythms that we're seeking to be true. And I often say, people are saying like, well, how's it going? And I'll be like, well, I feel like we're living them out at 50%. Mm. And for the achiever, performer, that's really a grace-filled good thing. Mm. And it's going pretty well. The main way it's going well is not because we're not tired from 6 out of 7 nights with sports the last time, is that we are having space ourselves to know what's going on inside of our hearts to share with one another.
I think
the best gauge is our marriage gauge.
Yeah.
I think that's very true. It's funny. It's funny you asked that about filling up tanks because in our car, like in my car, I'm that person who I wait till it's like almost on fumes and I'm pulling through the car line at school and I'm realizing that I'm on empty and remembering that the light came on when I left home and I'm like, please don't run out of gas in the car line, you know, like my greatest fear in life. But, you know, I know there's people who fill up when they get to like a half or a fourth of a tank and I've always thought that was crazy. As far as the car goes, but realizing that in life, you know, I probably tend to be the same, like kind of just keep going, going, going. I think we probably both, that's our natural tendency is to go and then take time to refill later. But just realizing like, okay, no, we need an ongoing refueling, you know, and that's what Jesus offers us. He offers for us to run on full all the time, but we have to make choices to engage with him and gain what he's wanting to fill us up with.
I really think, Dave, like that question is a great one that you post of if you're gauging your spiritual life and even our marriage with a full or empty tank, where are you? Mm-hmm. That's an intimate question. Yeah. And a lot of times, as you're saying, we don't even take the time to figure out where we are because we're so busy running. Mm. We're not even checking to see where the tank is. Like we get in the line like, oh no, I'm empty.
Right. And I'm in the carpool line, not the gas station line. Yeah, exactly. We find ourselves in these places.
Off air, we spoke to pastors and their wives and did a lot of Q&A because it was like, how do you have a vibrant marriage when you're running so hard? This could be pastors and their wives, could be businessmen. Oh, it didn't matter, but we were specifically.
Yeah.
But one guy and his wife are really heavily involved in leading Celebrate Recovery in that area in Missouri.
And she's a therapist.
She's a therapist. And they had so many great things to say. But he held up a chart they used with Celebrate Recovery I'd never seen, the red lights, green lights.
Okay.
So basically, it was like a stoplight, but it was more of a horizontal spectrum. But they, you know, encourage people to say, where am I right now? Am I in danger? That'd be red, very, you know, bright red. Am I good? Green, yellow, caution. But it was helpful to say, you know, when you walk in the house sometimes, I saw a Facebook post the other day. I'm not saying everything on Facebook's great, but it was interesting. It was like the wife and husband were saying there are days when he walks in the door or she walks in the door and I look at him and I go, I got 30. And that means you got to bring 70 because I just have 80 right now. I'm just being honest. I got 30. And he says, okay, I got the other 70 or vice versa. And you know, the question is like, okay, what if you say I got 30 and she says I got 20? You know, what are you going to do? And that's
like
where
that.
A lot of times you're at.
Well, and this guy too, that was talking about the Celebrate Recovery guy, he said, I walked in the house the other day and said, I'm at a red. I just want you to know I'm a red. I've been triggered all day. I need to call a therapist. And so, you know, he's had some addictions before, but when he walked in the door, the wife was saying, that helped me to know, like, this isn't about me. He's not taking things out of me, knows where he is. And now what's my response to him being in the red? I thought that was really wise.
Yeah.
So you walk in and just say, I'm empty. I'm on an eighth of a tank.
But you can't do that every day for a month.
It's true.
Your spouse is going to go
be intentional and get some help. Yeah. Well, that would be that gauge. But I love one thing that you've started over the since these months. Mm-hmm. And it's sending me a voice memo. In the moment, because you know, well, tell for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, like, if I know, okay, you know, either something just happened or I'm processing something and I'm feeling it, like, pretty deep and know this is probably something that would be good for us to talk about, for me to, like, let him in here emotionally.
Oh.
But I know that if I put it off and don't let him know until later, then things are going to be chaotic at home as usual or whatever, and we may not ever talk about it until 5 days later, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we never talked about this. So I'll send him a voice text and say, hey, I'm just letting you know, like, you know, here's the 10-second summary, but let's talk about this more later. And I just felt like I needed to go ahead and let you in some so you can ask more about it later.
What's been so helpful about that? Because we all delay. I'm like, oh, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
And then you don't end up making the space. It ends up tuning me in to like, all right, I want to make space for us to connect over something that really meant enough to her to message in the middle of the moment to go, this is affecting me. I do want to she's going, I want to process this.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make me fish or guess. Yeah. And you're like, okay, yeah, let's make space for that.
That's a good one, guys. Like, that's one of those things you've taken away like yeah. a good tool that you've brought out of this whole yeah. time and space. So turning off your phones, mm-hmm. kind of giving yourself space. Meg, I like that. Sending mm-hmm. a voicemail. Yeah.
That's a, I mean, I'm thinking of listeners right now. Listeners can go, I can do that.
Mm. Yeah.
That's really
practical.
A practical. Hey, by the way, David, Meg just gave us one. You got one?
Yeah. You know, my number one thing that's allowing me to have space to let her in is me taking a few mornings a week. And my goal is to, I'm definitely doing one where I'm calling them a circle back mornings where I am circling back, giving a little space, extra space for me to journal and go, what am I experiencing right now? Mm. All of life's coming at me, pressure's there. What is going, I'm going to circle back on the week or on these past few days and process how is it affecting me? Because sadly, I'll just blow past it and keep getting things accomplished and not really pay attention to what's going on in my soul and let her in on it. And so if I have that extra little space, and it's designated for circling back, not to read a book, not to listen to the next podcast, even though I love listening to Family Life Today, but to circle back on what, how am I processing and handling what's going on in life right now, from a kid applying to college to, you know, a kid having their feelings hurt, something going on between us, something going on at work, all the things that start coming at us. I'm able to put words to how it's affected me. And then all of a sudden I can bring her in on those words. Mm. For me, and the way I'm wired, all I know is something different happens when I've pinned it and I'm able to bring her in more specifically. Because otherwise, I'll just kind of keep managing or I kind of verbally vomit it or, you know, and I'm processing and it doesn't, you know, we got to spend more time to make it make sense. Man, totally different when I'm processing it with pen.
Give us an example, David, of something that maybe happened.
I mean, this week, there have been things with one of our kids and it involves the whole family. And so instead of me just, okay, another story, another thing, and I just need to get over it, I'm like, here's what I am feeling that's being threatened with this family. And it concerns me. It worries me. I want to process with Meg, not just fixing the issue for one of my kids and what they're dealing mm-hmm. with, but no, there's a bigger story of how this could end up affecting our relationship with that family. So that was a this week one.
It's kind of level five that we talk about at a Weekend to Remember conference. True. Like you're going, not this is what's going on, but this is what I'm feeling
Cheer
about what's
heart.
Going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. good.
And Meg, sure. you know, what happens when he does that? Because I know what happens when I do that with Ann.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we all long to be known and loved. I feel like the more that I know his heart and his soul like that, it just makes me love him more, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't know. And it also makes me respond and want to share. It's easier to share in response sometimes, you know, like, oh, wow, that's really, you're really letting me in. That's so intimate, you know, and a lot of times there are physical intimate moments that may follow those kinds of things, you know, like not in this exact moment, but it's like when I feel like we're connecting deeply emotionally, it just makes room for other kinds of connection.
But I will say this. Those of you who may be wired like me, where you can attune in the moment really well and pay attention to what, you know, your spouse is sharing or, you know, someone close to you, a kid even is sharing and really in the moment go there. I can sometimes use that skill, but not really care. And so there's just a caution there. And we had a story, this was a few years ago, but it still rings loud and true in my mind where, yeah, we were feeling a wedge in our relationship. That emotional tank was empty. We weren't sharing with one another. And I just remember going, you're not bringing to me anymore the thing. Like, I'm asking how you're doing. I'm trying to come up with creative questions. And I just feel like it's a brick wall. Like, what is going on? And you shared.
I said, you know, I feel like that for a season, I was sharing and I was letting you in. And it's kind of like I'm giving you this rose. And, you know, in the moment, you like take this rose and you're really careful with it and you ask a lot of questions about it and are really, you know, take care of it. But then, like, as that moment or night passes, you know, you just kind of toss that rose off to the side of the bed And then the next time, you know, I bring you another rose and the same thing happens. But eventually there's just like this big pile of dead roses over there on the side of the bed because you're not coming back and asking and wanting to know like, hey, how's that rose, or caring for these emotional pieces of my heart I'm giving you. And, you know, it was kind of like, the contrast would be, can you take that rose and like put it in some water and like let's keep this conversation open, you know?
And you're checking in on the rose. Have any petals have any petals fallen off?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I would just say in the mode I was in, this was one of those areas that made us get aggressive with, let's have a season of time to be really intentional to slow down and make space for those conversations. Because the thing is, I do care. Just like all of us care about our marriages, right. And our families. I intend to follow back up. But yet, the pace of life was just propelling forward. And as a result, I was intending to circle back. But I really wouldn't. The next worries of the day would come, and it got out of order of where I wanted to invest my time. And so it was like, all right, let's get some radical choices to slow down the noise around us. And it doesn't have to be that radical, to be honest, in order to feel the pace difference in your life and be able to know what's going on and share that with your spouse.
Let me ask you, Meg, as you talk about the rose, talk to the woman who's maybe tried to give her heart, her rose to her husband over and over, and he doesn't even take it at the beginning and care for it. Right. He just kind of dumps it off. Yeah. And so she stops giving her heart, and she starts building up resentment. Mm. Has that ever happened? And what would you say to those people that are struggling with that? Like, why would I give him my heart when he doesn't even appreciate it or want it, it seems?
Yeah. I mean, I would say when the first time we realized that a few years ago, I mean, I was in that place even of just like, I had started building up walls because I was kind of like, well, I'm not going to keep giving you these things if I don't feel like you're caring in return. And I knew that you did care. So maybe that's a little bit different because we'd had many seasons where I knew you would enter back in. But for one, it took really voicing that and saying, hey, here's how I'm really experiencing this right now. And us having conversations. But I think that was probably a season where we even chose to go to some counseling and like, hey, let's get some help because we know we care. We know we want to do this better, but life is kind of chewing us up and spitting us out. And so how do we, you know, what choices do we need to make? But yeah, I would say too, especially if it's someone who has had long seasons of that, you know, years upon years or even months after months and months going on, you know, I would say invite other people into that. You know, certainly start with having an honest conversation, but I think if it's been going on for a long time, it could be that the spouse doesn't honestly get that, you know.
Or even how to do it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so I would say it's okay to need other people to help you
other
along
women.
In that process. Yeah. Other women, maybe counselors, you know, they're definitely times when we just need outside people to speak into and help us.
Well, and I think what I usually remind women to is there is a God that loves you so much, and Jesus is constantly caring for your heart, protecting it. And we need other people. We long for that with our spouse, but keep giving your heart to Jesus because he's the one ultimately who makes it soft and 100%. Tender. And we need to bring him along in the process.
Yeah. Well, and I think something that we have realized, or I have personally over and over through the years, is that if I'm going to David first with all of these things, you know, he, even on his very best day, he is not going to be enough for me.
Right.
And that's not the role that he has. You know, Jesus is the one who wants to meet me in these longings that I have or these hurt that I might be walking through, whatever it is. And, you know, bringing that to him first and experiencing the rest and the restoration, the love, all those things that I really can only get from him.
It's good.
So I think that's a really good reminder, Anne, that going to him as our true source first, it's just there can be, you know, more emotional intimacy in our marriage if we share those things.
Yeah, and again, I would add at the same time to us men, because I think when Anne was sharing that, I was over here like, she's talking about me, you know, in some ways, because I've done that. The rose illustration, right? Mm-hmm. You felt that.
Yeah.
You know, in the moment I'm caring, but then I don't follow up. I think a lot of wives are hearing your story, Megan, going, oh my goodness, that's where we are right now. So mm-hmm. on the side of being the guy that missed it for many decades, I wish I could say many years, it's been many decades, it was easy for me to have my eyes so focused on the job and the mission and accomplishing things and forget this is more important than anything. My wife and kids are more important than all this other stuff. And I've got to turn it off, you know, and say, okay, she just handed me a rose. I dismissed it. I've got to engage and be there. And sometimes, like you just, we talked about this whole time, you got to slow down to be able to do that a little bit. Mm. You know, you got to take the pace down. John Mark Comer, you know, the ruthless elimination of hurry. We're just hurrying to everything.
Yes.
And in some ways, we got to go, this matters. I've got to figure out a way to be engaged with her. And it could be the other way, with him. Mm-hmm. When they're sharing something like a rose that's precious, that needs to be watered. That's love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's cherishing and nourishing. I think for sometimes I'm saying to the guys, step up, you know? Make that decision. It's the most important one you're going to make. It's more important than that bonus check coming. And I know that's important too, but but this is more important.
Right. Guys, you know? Thanks for taking the time to share what God's been teaching you, because I think it's helping a lot of us. It's inspired Dave and I. I like it.
I'm Shelby Abbott, and you've been listening to Dave and Ann Wilson with David and Meg Robbins on Family Life Today. Really love this conversation. And I loved how we talked about marriage and intimacy and kind of just the busyness of life. And really, do you relate with how difficult it can be to navigate busyness and maintain intimacy inside the chaos of life with a family? Well, one way to have a vibrant marriage and spiritual life amidst a hectic schedule is really just by slowing down and having meaningful conversations with both your spouse and other people in your community. And the New Art of Marriage is a study that will help you grow deeper together, closer to God, and more connected to your community. It gives space for authentic and vulnerable conversations around challenging marriage topics. So throughout 6 25-minute sessions, The Art of Marriage unpacks 6 biblical words that describe God's love for us and how each of those words can be displayed through our messy, imperfect marriages. Yes, even your messy, imperfect marriage. So you can go to the show notes or artofmarriage.com to learn more and grab your leader kit today. We're really excited to share the all-new Art of Marriage with you and hear how God is working in your marriages and impacting your lives. Now, tomorrow, what does it look like to connect vulnerability, emotional expression, and shared experiences to the overall health of your marriage? Well, David and Meg Robbins are back again tomorrow with David Ann Wilson to talk about just that. We hope you'll join us. On behalf of David Ann Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.